looking at a book in the Bible that is one of my favorite books. So it will really help you to have a Bible in front of you. Maybe we could have a few of the stewards just bring some Bibles around. Oh, there's some right here. So maybe a couple of folks could just bring a Bible around. It's page 928 that we're going to be looking at. It's the book of Jonah. And we're going to read the whole chapter. If you have your phones, do, you know, look at it on your Bible on there. I really encourage you to get a Bible downloaded so that you don't need Wi-Fi or anything like that to have it on there. And maybe if we could have a little more light for those who are reading, just a couple of these center ones on, that would be great as well, if that's possible. Now, I am still, for the first time in maybe a few years, I'm actually got a New Year's resolution that I'm actually following through on. It's partly helped by the fact that I told not just my family, but my church family, so that they would know if I'm doing it or not. But I said I wanted to wear my glasses more. And I am wearing my glasses more. It wasn't hard to wear them more because I couldn't have worn them less. And I had them for quite a long time, a year or so before that. But tonight is one of those nights where I'm very thankful, because when the lighting's bad, that's the point when I would usually most need them. So this is great. But we're looking at Jonah chapter 1. And we're going to turn page 928. The Word of God is powerful. So just before I start, let me encourage you to be ready for God to speak through His Word to you. There's something powerful about just the reading of the Bible, but part of the reason we take time after that to unpack it is to give it time to speak. So, you know, Sam's prayed for me. I've been praying for you. And we're just going to pause before I read so that we can kind of ready ourselves to what God might want to say to us tonight. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." And then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let's cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." So they cast lots. And the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? And from what people are you?" And he answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." And this terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied. I bet they weren't expecting that answer. "And it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. And then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." And then they took Jonah, and they threw him overboard. And in my kids' storybook Bibles that I read with my
kids, it often has a kind of a big splash at this point, which probably with the crashing waves, you probably wouldn't have even heard the splash. But this is the amazing bit. And the raging sea grew calm. Wow. And at this, the men greatly feared the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. I love the story of Jonah. In fact, I'd probably say it's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. In fact, so much so that many of you know that we named, my wife and I named our third child, our first son, Jonah. So easy to remember. And I imagine, looking around, I would be very surprised if none of you had ever heard anything about the story of Jonah. I mean, it is quite famous. Even when we're telling people our son's name, people will kind of go, oh, you know, the whale. They kind of associate it with water. They often mix up the name Jonah with Noah. There you go, Noah. I don't know if you ever get mixed up. But I think it's an Old Testament water association thing. But Jonah's a fantastic story. And however well you think you know the story of Jonah, I guarantee you there is more to this story than you've discovered. Even coming back at it afresh for this time, I'm discovering things and I'm thinking about things that I've never thought about or seen before. I love the story of Jonah because it's a story of revival. Stick with this series. You're going to see God do some amazing things. It's a story of revival. I love the story of Jonah because it's a story of God's grace. We've been singing a bit tonight about God's grace. God's grace is amazing. I need more of God's grace. You need more of God's grace. This is a story about God's grace. The story of Jonah is a story of how God can transform a city. A city that's far from God. And one of my longings, as many of you know, one of our longings as a church is that we would see Brighton and Hove and our city and beyond transformed for Jesus Christ as we are a movement of missionary disciples. And I love this book because it reminds me that God can transform a city through a missionary disciple. I love the story of Jonah, though, because it's a story of how God can use broken and sinful people who repent and believe in him to work out his amazing purposes for the saving of many lives. And I love that God uses people like that because I know enough about my story and about a fair few stories of people in this church because I have the privilege of having been pastor here for a number of years. And so I'm going to sort of guess that actually there's no one here who's not got a broken life in some way. Some parts of their lives that they're kind of a bit ashamed of. They know there's some sin in their lives. And yet here's the story of Jonah that reminds us that God can use you and I. And that's part of my story too. So I love the story of Jonah. And I love the story of Jonah because the story of Jonah points to the big story that all the Bible points to. You see, the story of Jonah, as we'll come to in a few weeks, is a death and resurrection story. It's a story of having this a beautiful picture of God being able to take and use a man who's kind of gone through a death and resurrection experience. And that is one of the big stories and themes of the Bible. So it's a privilege to be looking into this book together. And tonight, I want to think about the theme of running away from God. Running away from God. That's what we've titled this talk and the series, Running from God. Now, there are certain points in life which are a bit associated with running away. Now, I don't want to kind of put any labels on people here tonight, but one of the things I've kind of noticed about our encounter service is that it's kind of more people who are, you know, young people, students, and young adults, so people who we encourage to get involved in leading it. So, you know, that's often the people who come, and it's so good if you're here and you're in that age group. But there's this thing about being a young person and a student, is it's kind of in those kind of teenage or young adult years, and One of the things is people often want to do their own thing. And so, you know, you have kind of famous films even about that kind of stage of life, like Rebel Without a Cause. And it's about people who just kind of want to do things their own way. And sometimes it can be a time then when people have even grown up in the church, they kind of think, you know, I want to try to do things my own way. But I'll tell you another interesting thing about Encounter. Is that Encounter, because of the sort of demographics, and it's in the evening, and it's a time when it's harder for young families to make, it's often a time that people in their kind of midlife or later life, they're able to make it as well. And have you ever heard the phrase, midlife crisis? Midlife is a time when you can sometimes think, you know what, I've tried doing all the kind of usual stuff, and now I'm going to sort of just do things my own way a bit. And you kind of, people start doing sometimes crazy things in midlife. And so, I don't know, maybe you feel like you're in a bit of a midlife. And if that's you, hey, there's going to be stuff here. And if you don't fall into either of those camps, Encounter's for everyone. And so it's so good that you're here tonight. And yet we see a story here of a man who's trying to run away from God. So whatever you're in, if you've ever sensed that or seen people like that, this is going to be relevant for you. But do you know something? Before you can try and run away from God, you've got to have him try and move towards you. And the thing about the Bible and the thing about our passage is it tells us that God loves to move towards us and speak to us. The whole Christmas story is this amazing truth that God wants to be near us. He wants to move into our neighborhood. He gets up so close to us that it's kind of uncomfortable. You know, it's like, he's really kind of in on the action here. You know, he's like, okay, you're concentrating, you're listening, I've got something to say to you. And this is what God says to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. He was a real historical figure. You can check him out in 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 14. You can read more about Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. God had a call for Jonah to do. God came to him and said, hey, Jonah, this is what I want you to do. Now, often in the Bible, God's got a call for people to move towards other people. You see it throughout the scriptures, in fact, Old and New Testament. So often God's heart is for us to move towards God. Maybe we've been wandering away from him and he wants us to come back. That's what the Bible calls repent, turn around, come back to God. And so that's one of the big things that God's often trying to say to people. Hey, repent, turn around, come back to God. But then the other thing that the Bible often says that God is trying to say is he's often trying to say, hey, believe in me. You know, sometimes he'll come and he'll kind of want to get people's attention and they thought he didn't exist. And he's actually trying to say, no, look, I've got something to say to you and it's big. And they're like, wow, well, they thought they've been forgotten by God. And God's like, no, I haven't forgotten you. You know, I'm the God who's near you, he said to this lady once who was wandering away. So God comes and he says things to us. But sometimes he's not just saying, come back to me or come back to God. He's sometimes just saying, hey, you need to go and sort something out with someone. Or you need to go and actually... you need to go and speak to someone about God. Now, the thing for Jonah was that the people that God wanted him to speak to were the people of Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was like the kind of capital city, like the main city for the Assyrians of the time. Now, the Assyrians, have you ever heard of the Assyrian Empire? The Assyrian Empire had like dominated the whole region. They were the enemies of the people of Israel because they'd kind of taken over bits of it and they were trying to drag people away. And it was kind of like, it was a real nightmare for the people of Israel that the Assyrians were. So these were God's enemies. These were the Israelites' enemies. These were Jonah's enemies. And God was saying, go to Nineveh. Now here's the thing you need to know about what God calls us to do. It's often not comfortable. If you've been running away from God to come back to God, it's not comfortable. If you've got someone you need to go and get right with to go towards them, it's often not comfortable. If God's saying you need to go and speak to your enemy about him or speak to someone at school or college or your neighbor, it's often not comfortable. God sometimes says he wants us to kind of go public with our faith. He wants us to be baptized maybe. It's not comfortable. So you have a choice when God speaks to you. Are you gonna go with what God's saying, or are you gonna decide, you know what, that's too uncomfortable, I'm gonna do my own thing? But first you've got to know clearly what is God saying. So that's my first thing I want to ask you this morning. What is God saying? I think we got it up there on the screen. What is God saying to you? What have maybe some of those things that I've mentioned? Has he been saying to you, or is there something else that God has been trying to press on your heart in recent days? What is God saying to you? Now, it's important to try and to take time to hear that, to read the Bible, to do things like coming tonight that can help us. But even when we know what God's saying to us, we then have this choice. What are we going to do about it? And Jonah decides he doesn't want to do what God's saying. And you might know the very thing that God's saying you to do, and you've known it for a while, but you're still running away from it. And Jonah, actually, it's really, you know, it's so stark, isn't it? Verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, and there he boarded a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Jonah decides he's going to run. And he heads down to Joppa, and then he goes to get on board a ship that is heading to this place called Tarshish. Now, no one's completely clear where Tarshish is, but it's almost always associated with sea, so they kind of, at the sense of it being across the sea, it is likely to be where Tarshish was. Some people think it was in Spain, so that's where I've put it on this map, because that's about as far as you can go. So here's where he was around here. Around this kind of area, and went down to Joppa, and that was where Nineveh was. We know where Nineveh was. They're in the kind of Syria-Iraq area of modern today. So that's where God's calling him to do, and look where he went. He went that way, and he's now sailing that way. In fact, Tarshish is kind of symbolic of anywhere but where God wanted him to be. So let me ask you, what is your Tarshish? What is the place or the thing or the person that you kind of trying to run to, which is kind of keeping you from going and doing what God's calling you to do? What is the thing that you kind of hanker after? And you know it's not the place and the thing that God's calling you to, but it's just the place you keep running to. Maybe it's a place where you find, you know, you think you're going to find joy there, or you think you're going to be happy there, or you think you're going to find freedom there, or you think you're going to be able to get away from it all. Where's your Tarshish? Where's the place that you kind of... You think, well, if I just get there, it will all be sorted. Now, sometimes it can be a kind of fantasy place. Sometimes, you know, we feel like God's calling us to do something difficult, and we think, you know what, I'm just going to try and get that voice out of my head, and I'm just going to watch some, you know, just watch some television, or, you know, probably more likely to be iPlayer or YouTube or something like that now. And you just think, right, I'm just going to watch a film. I'm just going to try and escape to an unreal world. Maybe you're into gaming, and it's like, I'm just going to do the whole kind of, you know, try and not think about what God might be saying to me. Maybe it's actually a relationship. Maybe it's even an unhelpful relationship. And you know God might be saying this to you, but you just keep coming back to this relationship. Or maybe you've got a longing for a relationship. You think it's going to solve all your problems, but you don't think God's in it, but you would really like to kind of go there. Maybe it's an actual place. Maybe it's like, if I could just get out of my school or out of my job, it really doesn't matter anywhere. I'll just get on board a boat and go anywhere. But there's stuff that God's asking me to do in my school or in my family or in my situation in my job. And I just, like, I know he's calling me to that, but I really can't handle it anymore. So I just want to go anywhere. I've had times like that. I remember one time, actually,
This might surprise you. This doesn't happen to me often. But I remember one time before a service, it was a really difficult time. My wife and I just had some, we had a bereavement that wasn't easy to handle. I didn't really feel that great. I didn't feel like preaching. I just felt like I wanted to be anywhere but in the pulpit. And it was a Sunday morning. And I remember being in there and just praying before the service. And I thought, you know what I'm doing? I'm going to do a runner. I'm gonna go and walk around the block. I thought it would just be better. I'll just do a walk around the block, and maybe they'll go a bit further, but as long as I'm not here. And I just didn't want to be having to speak in front of everyone. And a wise old friend had said to me in this time, he said, just keep plodding. Just keep plodding. Do what just you need to do. And so I just, rather than run away or just spend my time trying to get, I just thought, you know what I need to do? I just need to move towards people. So I just came out and I started saying hello to people. I probably said hello to you, Michael. And I just thought, you know what, actually, it's not a scary crowd. These are my friends. This is my family. I can talk to them. I can be real with them. I can share God's word with them. And it just helped. But I knew this sort of sense of wanting to just go. And yet, actually, I knew God wanted me to move towards people. So what's your Tarsus? What's the thing at the moment that you're trying to run away from? I read a quote, a guy called Palmer Robertson has said this, life never stands still. Either you are running with the will of God or you are fleeing from the will of God. So even if you've been a Christian for many years, you know, Jonah was a prophet, remember. So he'd been around the block a little bit. He'd done things with God, but this thing, no, God. So at the moment, are you running with the will of God or are you fleeing from the will of God? What's your Tarsus? The thing was, it was a bit of a daft idea to run from God. Do you know, there's some things about God that are really important to just be aware of if you're trying to run from him. This will help you. The first is that God is all-knowing. It means he's omniscient. It is the word that kind of the theologians use. So he knew what was going on in Nineveh. He knew their wickedness. He knows what everything that's going on in Brighton & Hove, but he also knew what was going on in Jonah's heart. God knows your heart. He's omniscient. Can you say that with me? Omniscient. It means all-knowing. Omni is all. So God's all-knowing. But you see, God is also omnipresent. What do you think that means? He's everywhere. He's all-knowing. So, you know, Jonah couldn't run from God. It didn't matter even if he got to Tarshish, God would be there. You can't run from God. He's omnipresent. But the other thing you need to know about God is God is omnipotent, which means all-powerful. Can you say omnipotent with me? Omnipotent. That means all-powerful. That means that if God wants you to do something and he's calling you to do it and you're trying to say, let's say God says go and you say no, then God's got a few, you know, it's not like, he's not one of these things that goes, well, nothing I can do about that now. You know? Oh, no. God is massive. He has so many different things at his disposal to try and get you to see that his way is better than your way. And his way is always better than your way. And so God sends a storm. He hasn't just sent a person. He wants to send Jonah, and Jonah's tried to run away, so he sends a storm. Now God is omnipotent. He's in charge of his whole world. And there are many things in life which can feel like storms. I don't know if you've ever been in a real storm. In Africa, where I grew up in Kenya, you get some fantastic tropical storms. And they're really impressive. But usually you're on dry ground. So even if it's chucking it down with rain and hail and lightning and big storm clouds, you know, you can usually feel kind of, you know, like, okay, I'm under this tree. There'd be some moments where the power would completely go out and, you know, it was dark and you'd be getting a candle. I remember times like that. But usually if you're on dry ground, you know, if you're on this kind of stuff, it's okay. Have you ever been on a boat in the storm? I remember once, my worst storm experience. We were on a boat just going across the channel, just to France. And it was...
It was a bit choppy, and then it started getting choppier. And then they started, it was one of these kind of P&O cruises, you know, P&O, what are they called?
Ferries,
that's the word. It wasn't a cruise. It was just going across the channel. It was a ferry. And but they started saying it's going to get a bit choppy. And so they started on like the bookshelves in the room. They kind of put the things on that kind of keep the books from falling off the shelf. And they put away all the stuff. So it's like, okay, this isn't so good. And then they started handing out sick bags to everyone. Like, imagine I did that now. Sick bag, sick bag, sick bag. Who wants sick bag? Lila's saying, she remembers this. And I'm thinking, this is not good. And sure enough, it just got so, so choppy. And just like, more than half of the whole of the boat, or whatever, the ferry, was just, it wasn't pretty. It was not pretty. And I'm like, and I kid you not, I've never been so glad to be back on land. And it wasn't even a bad storm. It was just that we were big waves. And God sends a storm. And he sends a storm. Look at it. The Lord sent a great wind, verse 4, on the sea. And such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Imagine that. Well, we didn't have anything like that. But the ship threatened to break up. And all the sailors were afraid. They're afraid of what's going on around them. They're like, what is happening? We've done this route before. It's never been like this. And they're throwing the cargo overboard. And you know, there's stuff going on in our world. And there's stuff that goes on in people's lives, which makes them go, you know what? I don't know what's happening. I'm confused. I'm afraid. Maybe you've got friends and they've been watching the news this past week. Stuff that's been going on, the, you know, election of Donald Trump, or the protests that have been happening, or maybe you've been watching what's been going on in the Middle East the last few years, or North Africa, and you just think, what is going on with the world? Or maybe you've sometimes turned on your screen and you've seen some kind of terrorist attack in France or Germany, or even if you can remember some of the attacks here. And you just find yourself thinking, what is going on? And there's fear and there's confusion. We live in a world where there's a lot of fear. But maybe it's something in your own life, a bit more of a personal storm. Maybe there's some relationship that's just gone completely crazy. It's not turned out as you thought it would. Maybe it's actually really, you're just afraid of what's going to happen. Maybe it's a work situation. Maybe it's a financial situation. There can be all kinds of storms in our life. Now, here's the thing you need to know about storms. That God is able to use storms for his purposes. Now that doesn't mean storms are good, or that doesn't mean that storms haven't had their origin in something bad. This storm was in part caused because Jonah had run away from God. Now, you need to hear me very clearly here. Sometimes the storms in our life come because of our disobedience or because of someone else's disobedience. It's not always your disobedience. If you're going through a storm at the moment, it might not be your disobedience. The sailors had done nothing wrong, and yet they were caught up in the storm. But Jonah's disobedience affected them. And if you're running away from God, the chances are that it is not just going to have an impact on your life, but it's going to have an impact on the people's lives around you, and they get caught up in the mess. That's how serious it is. To be careful that you're not running away from God, but running with God. So God sends the storm, but he sends the storm, as we see here, because he wants to do something. He actually, the storm's purpose at this point is primarily to wake up Jonah. To wake up Jonah. Jonah had gone below deck. He'd been going down, 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 down. And he's down right in the belly of this boat. And he's there asleep, and he's in a deep sleep. I mean, you can't, the language in the original has got this kind of sense of he goes down to Joppa, down to the port, down into the boat, and in a deep sleep. I mean, he's like out of the game. And God is sending this storm to wake him up, to rouse him up. And you know what our world needs? What if our world needs, our world that's got a lot of fears, a lot of confusion. Our world needs God's people to be awake. When the church is asleep, When we think, you know what, it doesn't matter how we live. When we think we can just sail off to Tarshish and it's going to be okay and not have consequences for us and for others. Hey, it's a nightmare. The church needs to be wake up. To wake up to what it is that we are called to be, to our identity as God's people. And that's what happens here. Jonah's kind of outed. They say to him, look what they say. The captain said to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take care of us. And then they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah, and they ask him these questions. They want to know, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? And from what people are you? Now, when you're not kind of close to God, but you kind of, people know you go to church or something like that, and they might come and say to you, they might say, hey, can you pray for me? I'm going through this crisis. And you kind of sometimes, that's what the sailor does, kind of, can you pray for us? And Jonah's like, whoa, you know? And sometimes that can be pretty unsettling. God uses a storm in someone else's life or your own life, and he's trying to get hold of your attention. And so I want to ask this evening, what is the storm that God has kind of got brewing around you? What's the thing that's happening in your life that God is using to try and get your attention? And can I say this? If you're feeling like you're asleep at the moment, maybe you need to wake up and see what's going on around you. To see maybe what is happening in the lives of those you know and love. What is God doing at the moment to try and get your attention? What's he doing in our world, in our nation, in your school, in your college, in your workplace to try and get your attention? God wants you and I to be awake. And sometimes we can think, oh, I'm awake. You know, I'm awake. I was talking to someone the other day. I was talking about, you know, spiritual things. I'm awake. Have you ever heard of people sleep talking? It is possible to sleep talk. Or maybe you say, well, no. I'm not just talking about spiritual things. You know, I'm here. I came to church. You know, I've gone towards people and said something about God. You know, I'm walking. Have you ever heard of people sleepwalking? And you might say, no. But you know, there's something when we sing the songs at Encounter, I kind of have this warm feeling. I kind of start smiling. It brings some joy into my life. You know, people can smile even while they're asleep. And you might say, no, but for me, it's more than that. Sometimes I like find myself in tears. Well, you know, people can cry in their sleep. So I want to ask you, are you awake? And you might be thinking, well, David, if none of those things were a sign of awake, what's a sign that you're awake? What's a sign that we're alert Christians? Well, there you go. I've got two signs. Two signs that you and I are alert Christians. First sign that you and I are aware of the spiritual realities that are at stake in our world. That we're aware that eternal things really do matter, that there really is a heaven and a hell. That we are aware that how you live makes a difference, that what you make of God is the most important question that you can ever ask. That's what it is to be alert and awake. To be someone who's alert to the spiritual realities. That's what it is to be spiritually awake. And the second thing, I don't think if you're alert to the spiritual realities, and let's say you're like Jonah in the situation, you cannot then also be alert that actually, what can you do to help save others? If you're not concerned about whether your friends come to Christ or not, if you're not concerned at all about, how other people are with God, I don't think you're really awake yet to spiritual things. And my call to you is to wake up, to let God use maybe the storms that he's put around you. Maybe there'll be other bigger storms if you don't wake up. So please wake up to the realities of who God is. Jonah wakes up. Someone says, hey, pray for us. Someone says, who are you? What are you? And Jonah then says, and here's where things start to turn around. There's a turning point in this whole passage. And he says this. He answers, can you read this with me? Because I'm going to have a sip of water. Verse 9. Can we read verse 9 all together? He answered, go with it. I am. And you can see them go, whoa. You worship the God who makes everything? No wonder. They're like, no wonder. He was kind of outed. And, you know, people want to kind of know, do we have an answer to what's going on in the world? Do we know anyone who could help? And you and I are often operating kind of under the radar. We're kind of like, oh, you got a problem. Oh, okay, right, see you tomorrow. Yeah, hope you have a fine day. Oh, right, you got a crisis. Oh, yeah, that's going on in the news. Okay, right, see you tomorrow. Hope you have a good day. And it's like, sometimes it takes something massive or someone to say, hey, do you know anyone who could help? And we're like, maybe God? Do you know him? Yeah, I talk to him, actually, quite regularly. Could he help me? I think he could. And I wonder, who are you worshiping? Who are you really? Who are you if someone was to say, hey, you know, Simon, Debbie, Avis, who are you really? Whether you'd say, I'm not just sort of, you know, on this course doing this thing, but you know what, I'm a Christian. I'm like Nathan, that song you got us to sing. I'm a child of God. Wow, we were singing that. If we believe that and if we let people know that we know God Almighty and he can help them and help us, then a whole new change happens in our situation. And one of the things that changes in the situation is that these sailors start thinking, okay, now we can see what could happen. And they say to Jonah, well, what do we need to do to help? And Jonah knows now that he's the cause. He says it, doesn't he, plainly. He says, Jonah said to them, verse 12, pick me up and throw me into the sea and it will become calm, for I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. And guys, we've got to take responsibility for what we've been doing and saying with God. We've got to say, yeah, you know what? I need to get right with God. I need to surrender. And basically, Jonah says, look, throw me into the sea. I'm going to surrender my life to God for you. He is willing to die for the sake of saving the sailors. And so often, if we're going to get serious with God, this is hard to hear in Brighton and Hove on a kind of January evening, but in so many places around the world, if you're going to get serious with God, it's going to cost you pretty much your life. Now, that's kind of hard to hear, isn't it? But in places, there's places, many places around the world where if you were to even come to a service like this, you would be risking imprisonment in your life. And there are places that need to hear about God that if you were ever to think about going to them, it could cost you your life. And so there's something of growing as a follower of Jesus, as someone who knows God and is willing to say, God, I'm worshiping you, which is staying. And this is why I sometimes raise my hands. It's not just saying, yeah, God, you're the best, which he is. It's also in my heart saying, God, I surrender to you. And Jonah, when he says this to the soldiers, he's basically saying, God, I surrender to God. God, if this is what it takes, will you stay surrendered to God? Will you say, God, I'm surrendering all. And then Jonah gets thrown off and then the sea goes calm. And God uses Jonah's surrender to save the sailors. Look what happens at the end. The sailors, they're like worshiping God. They fear God. They offer a sacrifice. They make vows to him. From fearing the situation and being confused and fearing the storm, now the sailors are fearing God. Wow, what a transformation. And Jonah thought it was maybe the end. And when you surrender your hands into God's, your lives into God's, actually it's the best and safest place to be. God has got Jonah. And whoosh, we're going to see next time. What does he do? Verse 17, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. God comes to Jonah's rescue. As you surrender your life to God, there is actually no safer place to be than in God's hands. And this is where we start seeing this picture of the big story of the Bible, the picture that Jonah is. There's actually in the New Testament, Jesus refers to the sign of Jonah as being a picture of him. The one who died, who was like, gave himself up for others, for you and for me. The one who, as it were, sunk to the depths, but then was risen back and now is alive and not just transforming a city, but transforming the world. And he invites us, come back to him. Stop running from him, but start running to him and start running with him. And so I want to give us an opportunity now. I'm just going to invite the band to come back up and an opportunity to respond to God, respond to Jesus who's come to be our rescuer, come to speak to us tonight. And I want to ask tonight whether you're a bit like Jonah. Maybe you know things about God, but you've been running away from him. And tonight you need to surrender. You need to, as it were, sort of put your hands up and say, God, I'm just surrendering to you. I'm saying I want to do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. And might be that part of your response is just actually to raise your both hands and just say, I'm surrendering to you. So if you're a bit like Jonah tonight, you just want to say, God, there's something I know I'm not doing that I need to do. You just want to say, okay, I'm surrendering to you. But it might be you're a bit of a visitor here. A bit like the sailors, you're kind of caught up and thinking, what's going on here? Or maybe you don't know whether you've believed in God or not, but actually you're seeing things around you in other Christians. And maybe you're here tonight because some things are starting to wonder, what is going on? And you want to say, actually, I want, like the sailors, to turn around and say, hey, I want to start worshiping God. I want to start worshiping God. And as we continue on, you're not just going to be singing songs, but you're going to say, God, I'm worshiping you. So could we just stand together if you're able with me? And the band is just going to strum behind us and prepare for this next song. And just to encourage you to bow your head. Holy Spirit, we just invite you, come now. God, would you be speaking to us? Would you point out things in our lives that you're calling us to do that we're delaying on or we're running away from? And Lord, if there are people here who just need to come to that place of surrender and say, maybe you just need to say to God, I surrender to you. I am yours. Would you just raise your hands up in the air, maybe a sign of surrender? So we just sing the first verse of this song.